Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It's the Your Living Brand Live show. Welcome. It's Wednesday. It's the 16th. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. And thank you very much for joining us. My name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, I work with companies to consult, to teach, and to speak on brand, message, market, vision, and value. I want people to know who you are, what you do, why you do it, why you're important to them, why they see you as valuable, and help you connect with them in a way that's engaging, that's real, and ways that they're going to take the time to speak about you and the great things that you do. So come on out and talk to us at any time. It's Ben Baker. It's yourbrandmarketing.com. But today it's 10 o'clock. It's time for the Your Living Brand Show. For people who haven't been on the show before, what we do is we talk to a different business owner every single week. And what we want to find out is what makes them unique? What makes them different? How do they communicate with their clients? What do they say? How do they say it? You know, what methods do they use to communicate? What mediums? And why do people find them, special? That's what the key thing is. Every business is special. Every business has its own unique story to tell. You know, what's yours? And let's take the time and meet our new guest. Our guest this week is Russell Bird. Now, I've been waiting to have Russell on my show for a number of weeks now, actually from the very beginning. Russell actually was a mentee of mine, and he is one of my heroes. He has gone from being a mentee to a business owner of a very successful promotional marketing company based in Edmonton, Alberta. The name of the company is The Promo Addict. He is great at what he does. He's unique. And what he wants to do is he wants to help you be better and engage your clients in a meaningful way. So, you know what? Before I say anything else, let's get over and get. Welcome, Russell. How have you been?
Really good, Ben. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, it's great having you on the show from Edmonton. What's the weather like out there right now?
It's actually quite beautiful. We're in the heart of summer right now.
Oh, perfect. So you guys aren't getting all that smoke that we're getting in BC.
It's been off and on, but no, yeah. Today's a beautiful day.
Oh, excellent. So, as I was telling you before I brought you on the show, it says, you have had an incredible rise over the last couple of years. We met, you were my mentee in the promo industry. We had a good relationship. We still have a great relationship. And, I want to tell me about the Promo Addict. Tell me about the story and of who you are, where you came from, and where the Promo Addict is today.
Well, the Promo Addict was a pet project of mine. I started it in September 2015. So about 2 years ago, we're just approaching our 2 year anniversary. And it started with me working out of my basement by myself, which was really lonely. And in the past 2 years, we've grown to have 4 staff and a beautiful office. And this year, we're going to surpass records in sales for ourselves.
So that's phenomenal. Good for you.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We're exceedingly happy with the level of growth that we've seen over the past 2 years.
That's great. So tell me about the company. Tell me what makes you different. Tell me the story of the Promo Addict. Tell me about the brand. Tell me about the message. Tell me a little bit about the customers that you guys serve and why they like you and why they love you.
Okay. For us, when we were coming up with the branding of the Promo Addict, it was really about me and also having something that was scalable based on a culture of loving promo first. So our go-to-market strategy is what we call make great promo. We really value the idea of not making junk. If someone comes to us and they say, hey, I want a 10-cent pen, we tell them great place to buy it from. Mm-hmm. We would rather sell them a slightly more expensive pen or a pen with better branding and spend some money on the design of the pen or the design of the imprint on the pen as opposed to just slapping a logo on something. And so if we take the time on every single project to make everything we do just a little bit better and make it great instead of just making something that has a logo on it, that's kind of what separates us, is that we love making great projects, something that we can brag about on social media, something that our clients are proud to give to their customers, as opposed to just an item with a logo on it.
And that keyword proud, that's huge. Because you know what? When you're producing something, you're not producing something for your customer. You're producing something for your customer's customers. This is a gift. This is something that's going out with their logo on it to their customers to tell their story in their unique way. And you know, that's huge. And the more you can sit there and help your customers differentiate, the better off you are. So, you know, how do you do that? Like, go through the process with me when you're talking to a customer. You know, what are the type of things that you talk to them about when you're talking about a brand new project?
Well, I did catch one thing you said there, which was this is a gift. And I agree with you, but only if you put it in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a pen or a coffee mug or a widget or trinket or whatever it is into a bag, then it's a gift. But if you don't put it in a bag, it's a promo. So we sell a lot of bags because we try to convince our customers that you can make it into a gift if you just buy a nice little gift bag. And it's perceived totally differently than if you just hand someone a pen. A pen in a gift box is a gift, but a pen just handed to someone, even if it's a Fisher Space pen, it's just a pen unless you put it in a nice box. Although the benefit of Fisher Space pen is they actually do come in a box.
That is a good thing. Yeah. And that's important because you're changing the perception. You're changing the perception of the person who's receiving it and the value of the perception of the person who receives it, because all of a sudden they're getting something that's special. If that little bag, that little bit of extra money that you spend on presentation is the difference between somebody going, wow, and people go, oh, another pen. Thanks. That's great. I'll put it with the other 1,000 pens I have. You know, take me through the process of how do you decide for a client what is right for them and what's going to speak to their clients?
We do an interview process with all of our clients, usually before we even send them a single presentation, just to find out what makes their business tick. So it's finding out who gifts are for, what their average budgets are, what their annual spend is, how many customers they have, how many employees they have, what they've done in the past, who they've been buying from, things like that. That uncovery process really helps us stand out to them. Because if I ask them, you know, what is it that your previous distributor did for you that you loved? I can make sure I do that as well. But if I also ask them, is there anything that they did that you didn't love? I can make sure I avoid doing that. And often the things that I uncover during those types of questions are pitfalls that all of us distributors fall into. And they're kind of unavoidable, but you manage that relationship by just educating the customer about it. Things like overruns and underruns. You know, they order 200 pens, but they got 210. Do they want to pay for that extra 10? Or do you want to write it off? Right. So if you can manage that relationship in the right way and set their pricing accordingly, then they're going to be much happier, even though they're still running into those exact same pitfalls.
Right. And for my audience who don't understand what an overrun is, when you're producing anything, whether it's printed material, whether it's a newspaper, a magazine, a promotional item, the press doesn't stop at 50,000. These presses are running, could be running at 500 an hour, or they could be running at 50,000 an hour. And it takes a while for these things to slow down and stop. It actually takes a while for them to speed up and get up to speed. So the first 50 that you're going to produce of anything usually go in the garbage, because what they're doing is they're making sure that the color's right, that the registration is right, that it's produced in the right place, and that the ink density is showing properly. At the end, you have the same thing. So, you know, if you order 200, they might actually produce 250 or 300 pieces. And 50 of those may go in the garbage, or 75 of those may go in the garbage. And that's part of the process. That, you know, that's part of the built-in write-off cost.
You don't want to send out product that's not perfect.
Exactly.
We were producing some name tags yesterday. We do a little bit of in-house production now.
Yep.
And we bought a Millennium 770 printer that prints name tags. And we were printing some student name tags. And a bunch of them came out and they said stud instead of student.
Oops.
Well, I had just put my name on one and I was wearing it around the office. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But you can't give those to the client, right?
So never.
Those end up getting recycled or repurposed in another fashion, such as wearing them around the office or using them as samples. Mm-hmm. But you can't send a client a name tag that's supposed to say student when it says stud. So it just, and you can't reprint, you know, the ENT with the right registration. So it just goes away. So educating the customers on what to expect with overruns and underruns is just, you know, and that's just one of the many pitfalls that we can run into. I think that's a very important part of the uncovery process when we're dealing with new clients. Yeah. Better understand what they expect, right? Really what we're in the business of is meeting expectations, right? You don't want someone to open a box of new product and go, you want them to go open the box of product and say, oh yeah, that's what I expected, or this is nice, or this is good. But if they open it up and it's printed in the wrong color of red, that's okay if you told them in advance and they expected it, because they might not actually care about their red that much. But if they do care about their red, then you pay the additional $15 Pantone matching fee and you have a product that they're going to love.
And that's important. Is, you know, the thing is that what you're doing is you're working with your clients to understand what's important to them. You know, right. What are the key factors that are going to make them successful? What are the key factors that are going to make them look good in front of their boss and their clients and their coworkers? And it's setting expectations at the beginning. It says, you know what? You may not want to go with this product over this product because these are the pitfalls I've seen. And that's where I see, you know, you differentiate as a company. And I've watched you out there because there's not a lot of companies that actually take the time. A lot of people, somebody orders 500 pens, they ship them 500 pens. There's no questions about what's your brand, what's your message, who are you going out to. But Russell, I know that you and your team take the time to go out there. Now, tell me about the education you do in the promo industry, because not a lot of companies do that, and that makes you unique as well.
Well, I'm a sous chef with Promo Kitchen.
Yeah.
So I sit on their mentoring subcommittee. And with that, we pair people that want to be mentors with people that want to be mentored. So a lot of the work that I do each month with regards to that is about finding the right fit. So mm-hmm. if someone is the VP at a company that has 100 employees, I'm not going to pair them as a mentor with someone who's a brand new startup with no employees. I'm going to try to pair them with someone that is working within a system similar to what they're working in.
Right.
So taking the time to investigate each person that puts in for our program helps me get mentor relationships that are going to be the most beneficial. Mm-hmm. So that's quite a bit of what I do, but I also write a blog at thepromoaddict.com where I post a few times a year about leading trends in promotions, things that are hitting pop culture and promotional items, the top promo items that I see in Vegas every year at the PPAI show. That's probably my most popular blog post of the year. I have my competitors sending it out to their customers saying, check out cool ideas. This year, in fact, after the PPAI show, I got an email from a huge company down in the States, and I looked back in the email chain, and it was just one of my competitors had sent them my blog, and then they contacted me directly. So it has paid dividends to spend the time to create content online with my blog and my Twitter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, you bring up a big thing is the PPAI is Promotional Products Association International. It is a huge show. It's 1 million square feet. I mean, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about this. It's 1 million square feet. It's about 13 miles of show floor. And there's about 3,300 booths. And the great thing is there's not only is it an exhibition where you can go out and see the latest and greatest of the products, but there's also a couple of education days. And are you going to be taking your staff down for the education days this year?
Yeah, we always go down for the 2 days ahead of the trade show and then 2 days of the trade show. And then we allow staff to stay a little bit longer if they choose. Mm-hmm. But we'll pay for all the flights and hotels for our staff to get down there. So last year we did an event called SKUCon, which was on the Sunday before the trade show starts on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then on the Monday we did the PPAI education. So SKUCon is a more specialized education day for forward-thinking distributors that want to get a little bit outside the box. And it was really enjoyable. And then the PPAI education is a little bit more structured and goes to count towards your like official education credits towards earning your industry certifications.
So are you in the process of getting your certification?
I am not. Well, I'm collecting points.
Yes.
I'm not personally tracking them to figure out what I need to get as far as required credits.
Yeah.
I think one day I would like to. I just haven't spent the time to look into it.
It takes years. I mean, the thing is with the education is it's ongoing.
Right.
And this is what makes you valuable, is it differentiates, is the people that are constantly going out there and constantly looking and saying, what's new? What are some new industry ideas that are coming out there? What's some new thoughts around the industry? You know, how is the industry working? And being able to be in contact with the movers and the shakers in this industry to be able to sit there and say, you know what? What's going on? What are you doing? And to be able to emulate it, or to be able to, you know, take a look at a way and make sure that it works for you and your team. So I think those are great things. Now, what I want to find out is, why do your clients think of you as special? Like, what are the little things you do for your clients to differentiate yourself in the industry? Because you don't have 100% share in Edmonton. I don't have, you know, nearly that kind of share in Vancouver. So what do you find that makes you special and helps differentiate yourself in your marketplace?
I try to do a lot of my own deliveries. If you have more touch points with your clients, it's going to allow you more outlets to get more orders. And there's nothing worse than a client being in their office and opening a box by themselves and finding a mistake. If you're there with them, you can address it right there, right then. So when I'm delivering a box of hats to a client, I can walk into their office with it. I feel like Santa Claus. I'm dropping it off. And I say, what's next for us?
Yeah.
And they say, oh, well, I got the hats. Wouldn't this look great with some golf shirts? And then we look at doing matching golf shirts. Or they say, well, we're not doing anything till Christmas. So let's see some ideas in middle of October so that I can get some ideas going for Christmas. And it gives you that touch point to uncover the next opportunity. And then you can diarize it when you leave. So taking that time is, instead of having Pure Later or UPS drop off the packages to do it yourself, is a really great opportunity to celebrate the win with your client of the new products that they just got.
Yeah, because I'm sure they get excited when they open up a box. As you said, it's Christmas. And it doesn't matter if it's July or February or December. It's something new and exciting for them. And it's something that they're going to be proud to open up and send to their clients. And if you could be there to celebrate with them, you're tying your brand to their success.
That's
which
right.
which is a wonderful thing.
That's right. And we've done some unique things in our office. Like, we went out and we bought custom packing tape and we designed it to look like a zipper. So we put that in all of our boxes when they go out the door, so that it looks like you're unzipping a package when you get it. And it's got our name all over it. And it says to reorder, call the promo addict. So when people see this box sitting in someone's office, it has the cool packing tape on it with reorder information so that people know where they got their stuff from.
That's great. So you're good. You go into people's warehouses and your box is all over the place. And from 50 feet away, people know it's the promo addict.
I sure hope so.
That's the goal. That's the goal. So let's switch gears. I got two last questions for you. One, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about bacon, because you know what? I had to bring this up in the market. We're dealing here with a world-class bacon chef. You know, never mind the man that sells promo all over Edmonton and getting the clients across North America. This man produces amazing bacon. So tell me a little bit about the fact that you're just going to the World Championships for the third time this year.
Yeah. So in 2015, I got the chance to go to the World Bacon Championships in Kissimmee, Florida for the first time. And this year I'll be heading back to compete again for Canada at the World Bacon Championships for the third time. This year it's in Orange Beach, Alabama in November. I was fortunate enough to place second place in the world last year. And I won some prize money and I got some new sponsors. And thank you, Ole Mel. So it's an exciting opportunity to, you know, represent my country on the world stage in a non-traditional environment for me. I love food, as you can see, but I don't always love eating it as much as I love cooking it and sharing it with people. I have done really well selling into food service markets because of what I've done in food sport. You know, at these events like the Canadian Food Championships and the World Food Championships, there are a lot of corporate sponsors. Mm-hmm. And when you win these events, you get the chance to rub noses with them a little bit, hang out in the VIP areas, get to know them. And then when you say, well, I'm actually not a chef, I'm a pen salesman, they say, oh, wow, give me your card. And so I've been able to turn my relationship with food into a relationship with food producers.
Which is great.
Yeah, you know, food's not going anywhere. In where we're from in Alberta, oil and gas is huge, or at least it was. And I have a lot of oil and gas customers that aren't buying right now. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, everyone has to eat. You know, we may be able to switch over to electric cars, but you can't switch over to electric produce. And so...
What a great line.
Right. You can put that in the blog promoting this video.
There we go.
But it's one of those things where food is huge. And food producers spend a ton of money buying stress balls in the shape of broccoli or USB flash drives in the shape of a pig. Mm-hmm. It really transcends all avenues of life, right? Like everyone eats. And so grocery stores, restaurants, food transport companies, refrigeration companies, there's a huge marketplace there. Actually, last month I was featured in Advantages magazine as a feature article on how to break into a new market.
Yeah.
The market that I chose to focus on was food. And it was how I broke into the food market by competing in food competitions.
That's great. That's just great. Because, you know, what it does is it differentiates you. You're one of them.
That's right.
You know, and that's it. You can speak their language. You understand their language. You understand the type of places that they hang out and the type of people they hang out with. And because of that, it allows you to have, you know, a great core relationship with these people that other people can't, because they don't understand the basic tenets of the industry.
That's
right. And the more you can do that, the better off you are. So I got one question that I'm going to let you go, because you know what, it's coming up to the top of the hour and it's time to get you going. My last question is, when you leave the room, when you walk out the door, when you're in your car and you're driving away, what do you want people to think about you and the Promo Addict?
I want them to be excited to give away the products that I've left them. I use a line with some of my clients where I say, if you leave it in the box, it's not making you money. So if I come back 6 months from now and the 500 pens that I sold you are still sitting in the box in the corner, they're not making you money. You need to put them out into the world and have that pen touch 7 hands over the next 2 months and then buy more pens. Because if it sits in the box, it's capital employed that's not working for you. Mm-hmm. So I say, get it out into the world, let it work, let it do its job of bringing you more business or making your employees happier so that I can come back and do it again. So I just want them to be excited to give away the products that I sold to them.
Perfect. You know, Russell, thank you very much for being on the show. I loved having you on. I've been waiting for you to be on the show for a long time now. And you know what? You didn't disappoint as a guest. So thanks a lot. You know, hang out in the green room for a second. I'm just going to go talk to my audience, and I will be right back. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
So we're back. You know what? It's been a great show today, and thank you all very much for listening in to Russell and I. We've had a great time talking about promo and differentiating. You know, the key thing is find a niche. Find something you're interested in. Find something that you can speak to. Find something that your competitors can't do or your competitors don't know about, and exploit it. You know what? Find a tribe. Find the people that are excited about what you're excited about, and talk to them and communicate with them and show them your value. And you know what? What it does? It builds trust. And by building trust, you can build relationships. And when you build relationships, you know what? Business gets better. So find a way to be different. Find a way to speak in a language that shows value and shows that you care about people. Be empathetic. And you know what? Life is great when you do that. So thank you very much for being part of the show. Once again, it's Ben Baker. The show is yourlivingbrand.live every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Next week, we've got a real treat from you. I got Bill Petrie coming to you live from the show. You're going to have a lot of fun listening to him. And so I wanted you to trade in. Now, once again, Ben Baker, your brand marketing. What we do is we consult, we teach, and we speak on brand, message, market, vision, and value. Come find us. We'd love to talk to you. Bye-bye.